hack and sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and I'm here with Becky Ivins. Happy Saturday morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Mark. I'm great. How about
good?
How are you? How was your week?
It has been a great week.
It has been, fast paced.
Yeah, really great week. Lots happening within the real estate market. Things are still moving quickly. Today we're going to be talking about some trends and things that are happening in the marketplace.
Well, and trends in real estate can go so many different directions. I thought we might start by talking about, everyone goes, oh, real estate's really good, real estate's awesome. Here's one of the trends I'm seeing. Sellers are getting greedy. They hear that you can sell your house for almost any price, so they want that price. And you've heard the expression, shoot yourself in the foot. They shoot themselves in the foot by not looking at what property. If you list your house for a market price, and market price in an accelerating inflationary market is a little bit more difficult to understand and to determine, but someone with some skill, I mean, Mark, you can do it. I can do it. If someone tells you what your house is worth and what you can get for it, but they don't show you the data behind that, you better start running and finding you somebody that's going to use reasonable skill and care and be honest with you. We're charged with that legally. By law, we owe honesty and we owe reasonable skill and care. Does that mean everybody uses it? Not quite.
Not all the time. And so one of the questions, Becky, that you've taught your team to ask, we ask buyers this, we ask sellers, we ask other real estate agents, how did you come up with that price? It's a great question to ask, because sometimes you have just a number that's flown in, seems like from outer space, where they go, I want X amount for this house, or I want to pay X amount for this house. How did you come up with that price?
Right. And houses are not, like, I had an interesting conversation with someone yesterday. She might be listening today. And she wanted her art to argue her way to a $15,000 increase in her house over what it appraised for. Because she had a buyer, and it didn't appraise for what two different buyers were willing to pay her. Well, what do we do in a case like that? If you've got a house that you've got multiple offers on and buyers are willing to pay the money, you have to choose the right offer or counter with an offer going, we think it's worth this much in today's market too, but we fear that it won't appraise. Appraisals are based on historical data. Current prices are based, sadly, on future data. They're based on what people are asking for their houses, not particularly what they've sold for. Mm-hmm. So you need to you have to look at both of them, because if you priced your house based on historical data, you're not going to be asking enough for your house. You can get more money than that typically. You'll find that I always use qualifiers when I talk, right? It's typically, usually, most likely, probably, because there are no definites. In real estate, very few definites. The one definite we know is there's 43,560 feet in an acre, right? That's about the only definite we have.
That's right. And there's taxes on the property. Those are the two definites we
have. Well, sometimes there's taxes on our property.
You qualify.
And let me qualify that, because if you are a 100% disabled vet,
you're right.
In Oklahoma,
see, even on that, there's an exception.
In Texas, too. You don't pay property taxes.
If you want to join in on the conversation, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000.
NMLS number 196-895.
And on the line right now is our money man from SWBC. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great, Dean. Sounds like you're out and about on this Saturday morning.
I am.
Wonderful.
Start the weekend.
Well, it's nice and cool and bright and sunny. What's happening in the market this week?
You know, Mark, it's kind of a volatile market rate-wise. Wednesday spiked up a little bit, but Thursday, Friday, you tapered back down to the 3.25 on a 30-year loan that we've seen. Probably the biggest news that came out this week was Wednesday on the subject of student loans for your FHA buyers. Prior to Wednesday, an FHA buyer who had $80,000 in student loans were held, if the credit report provided or we completed, showed their payments in deferment. Lenders still had to charge, Mark, 1% of that student loan balance within the body of their debt ratio. So an $80,000 student loan balance equates to $800 in their debt ratio, or $60,600, whatever it may be. And FHA reduced that to 0.5%, which really opens up the window for many FHA buyers who have student loans in deferment to being able to purchase a home. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I have not heard. I didn't hear any of that about that this week. Beck, did you hear that?
That's why Dean calls in.
That's why I listen on this show. That's great information, Dean.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I had a client about a year ago, and she's a school teacher. So income-wise, you know, you kind of know what range I'm talking about. But she had $110,000 in student loan debt.
Wow. When you take out the student loan debt, I feel pretty proud about how I taught my kids. You have to calculate what it's going to cost you to go to school and then calculate what you're going to make each year.
Right.
And see if it's worth it. I mean, dental school is usually worth going into debt a little bit. However, if you're going to be a school teacher, you'd better not take out too many loans, because it's hard to pay that. I mean, bless you if you're going to be a school teacher and a good one. We need more of those. But it's not a high-paying job, so don't take out a lot of student loans.
Well, you take her who, say she's making $40,000 a year, that's $3,300 a month, and I've got $1,000 debt against her before she's gotten off first, you know, off the ground. So, because she had $100,000 in student loan debt. So, she's in a spot, let's be honest, unless she just marries incredibly well, she'll never be able to buy a house. Now, stuff like this opens the door for her a little bit. It'll still bite her a little bit because of the type of job she has and her income. But I do think it'll open the opportunity for many people, provided the FHA buyers are being viewed as buyers today, because we're in a different market today from what I'm hearing from your staff, that FHA VA buyers really aren't getting looked at as much as they have been historically.
Well, now that's right, because if there's eight offers on a property and you've got five of them FHA, and you've got one of them VA, one of them conventional, one cash, guess which one the seller wants?
Oh, yeah.
Cash. But maybe it's a low cash offer, or maybe they want to close in 3 days and the seller has to go buy a house. So then the conventional loan starts looking really good.
Yep.
So what I've got a question about the debt-to-income ratio. That used to actually be a ratio, but now with automated underwriting and desktop underwriting, that's more of, it's not so much of a hard ratio, is it?
Well, on your conventional loans, yes. I mean, you're kind of, you're capped at 50.
50% of your income. 50% of your income can be allocated
yes.
toward monthly debt.
Yep, okay. Gross monthly income. And that's not a rubber stamp, but it's a hard stop at 50. So you could have a client that's got a 48% in Fannie Mae's system, Freddie Mac's system, doesn't like it. Or you could have someone who's great credit-wise, and their debt ratio may be 50. It can't be 50.01. But if it's 50 or less, you can get a green light and be okay. Now, the FHA VA side, I mean, this is where the components of credit score and money in the bank and those things come into play, housing impact, what's going on. Because I've got an FHA that we approved yesterday with a 55% debt ratio.
But we want you to come back, Dean, and talk about the whole qualification process. We'll just do a whole show on that, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Dean. If you want to continue a conversation with Dean Riddell or Matt McLean at SWBC Mortgage, you can give them a call at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and all our favorites are right there for you. We're going to be back with what's happening in the real estate market right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking about trends in real estate. And, Becky, we've talked about the trend as far as home prices have been going up. And one of the major factors of that has just been the supply chain, that all the materials that it takes to build a home have really been affected.
Well, this has been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. And there is a shortage of building supplies because people haven't worked. So the lag in that is showing up pretty severely right now. There's been a stagnation in local jurisdictions, say like Oklahoma City, having trouble processing approvals in a timely manner. I applied for a building permit a year ago. More than a year ago, I just got the building permit week before last.
Wow.
And this week, thank goodness, I got the wastewater approval to where, you know, you have to get several approvals when you do a commercial build. But subcontractors haven't been showing up for work. That's a problem. A framer cannot frame a house. A concrete company cannot pour and finish concrete by themselves for a house. You've got to have subs show up. And most subcontractors, many subcontractors are just that. They're like 1099 workers, meaning that they're not W-2 employees. And they can get unemployment as well if they show that they've paid into unemployment. So, and unemployment benefits have been pretty incredibly high. It would be pretty tempting. In our family, we would have had no problem. There is not one person in the family that hasn't been working and working overtime because we have a very strong work ethic. But not all families are like that. Not all people are like that.
And that's affected the supply chain from factories to deliveries to on-site. And so one of the trends was the price of lumber just skyrocketed.
I've got kind of an example here that like April of 2020. Now, when you say per thousand board feet, that's the measurement that we're going to use, right? Okay, it was $349. In February of this year, And that's, what, 9 months later? It was $940. And then it went up from there as well. Those numbers aren't in quite yet, but now what's happening?
It did. So I read an article this past Wednesday from the Wall Street Journal, and they're talking about – so there's several different ways to price lumber and wood, and I am by no means an expert of it. But they're talking about futures, that there's an exchange that it's basically people betting on where they believe the trend of those – cost of wood per 1,000 feet is going. And the highest it ever was in May. It was $1,700 per 1,000 square foot. So you talked about it being $900 per square foot.
Well,
that was the high, per 1,000 feet.
Per board foot.
Yeah.
Okay. How much was that?
$1,700.
So it almost doubled in about 2 or 3 months.
Yep. Wow. And so it dropped by 41% in this last month to $1,000. Big drop. So what we're seeing is the trend, and the article in the Wall Street Journal just talks about that this is kind of the pushback from people going, that's too much. We're not going to – builders had stopped building based on because they couldn't price properly.
Right.
There were so many different ways that builders were trying to price things, like not giving the actual price until all the wood frame is up. That was one of them. Giving a big variance where you, as a buyer, you had no idea what you were actually going to pay for the home.
When you're buying a new home, I'm going to suggest something to you. You get yourself a good realtor that knows how to read a contract and help you determine what you're actually paying. There are clauses in some of those contracts that a lot of builders use that only guarantee the price if materials stay the same. And other than that, they can go up on the price, and that's pretty dangerous.
And this is one of the big misunderstandings out there of that if you're buying a new home, you really don't need a realtor to be on your side. And we have seen many, many times.
Oh, my gosh. I will tell you, the builder pays somebody to sell you a house. They have usually the bigger builders have in-house sales staff, and they get paid. However, if a realtor brings a buyer to a builder, instead of paying the in-house staff, they pay the realtor. So they're going to pay somebody. So it's not like it's going to cost you more money. It's just that you have an independent person not working for the builder to explain things and be in your corner.
Yeah. There is, we've seen so many things. So many of these builders are just wonderful builders. We work hard to build a relationship with the builders, to understand what their particular way of doing building. And you need someone who has that knowledge, because there's things like we've had clients been told, oh, you don't need an inspection on a new home.
Well, of course you need an inspection on a new home. Because when you get your inspection on a new home, the builder goes back to the subcontractors and says, hey, by the way, you need to fix this. You didn't actually hook up the furnace. And if you're going to close in August, you're not going to know until October that furnace isn't hooked up. So get that home inspection. It's money well spent. And other trends, okay, low interest rates. They are beginning to bump up, but they're still extremely low. And that is it's not a sustainable trend, but it is a trend in real estate.
It's not a sustainable trend that it'll stay low. Is that what you're saying?
It will not stay low.
Right.
I mean, and I did not say likely will not or probably will not.
There's no qualifier.
There's no qualifier there.
it will go up.
Interest rates will go up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a trend with our government and the political climate that we're in. Typically, if you look back at history, you end up with, when you get more of the liberal or Democrats in charge, typically you have inflation and your interest rates go up, whereas it's kind of the opposite when the other party's in charge. And if you're living off of interest, that you want a Democrat in the White House, if all the money you've got coming in is interest off your savings, because interest rates will go up. But most people borrow more than they're getting, than they have in their savings account.
We're going to be back with more trends in real estate on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins talking about trends in real estate. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700, 728-3700. There's no trend there with Robbins. They're trust. I can't tell you how good it feels to know that I can call Robbins Roofing, because that's one of those major things that... If there's something that I'm not sure of on a roof, I'm like, Larry, tell me what's happening.
I did that this week. A tenant called me and said, Becky, there's water coming out of a light fixture in the hallway, and sent me a picture. And I was going, well, it hasn't rained for a little while. Why would there be water? I mean, it had rained, but he was in Bethany, and I was further north. And I had heard that it had rained, just like downpoured a little bit further south on the day that he called. So I thought, oh my gosh. So I texted Larry and I said, Larry, will you have time to run by there and look at this roof today? So he runs by and looks at it and says, well, Becky, you're missing a cap on one of your flue pipes. Well, come to find out, I think that was an abandoned flue pipe. But I'd forgotten I got a new central heat unit in that last year. And the person that installed that did not install a large enough pan under it. It got stopped up and there was no overflow switch. So it really was a mess.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I got the bigger pan installed and the overflow switch installed. But the thing is Larry went right then, that day, to check this out for me, which was important because my tenant was, like, showering in the hall because there was water coming out of a light.
That's why I love him. You can give him a call at 728-3700 if you have just about anything happening around the top half of your house. Give him a call.
Hey, let's talk about, what's our word of the day?
Word of the day, trends.
Trends.
A trend, which is just a general movement. A general movement, a swing towards something as a current style or preference, something that's in vogue. Now, Becky, how in real estate, when do you start to realize it's a true trend that, like, pricing is one of those that is just a big part of how do you know when pricing starts going up or starts going down? Because a lot of people are waiting on what's the indications we might be flattening.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. We haven't had very many listings on the market in total. We've got, usually we have between 4,000 and 7,000 properties active on the market. Now, that's a big stretch, but 4,000 to 5,000 is sort of what we typically have active. this time of year. However, our multi-list has now expanded. That was back when we had like four counties. Now we have nine counties. If you're for sale by a realtor that is a part of the multiple listing service, they have to put the listings in multi-list. If you're within these nine counties, the Oklahoma City Metropolitan Association of Realtors multi-list is what you go into. Our trend has been about 1,900 since the first of the year. We've had about 1,900 listings. Are you on multi-list now? Do you know how many?
I just pulled it up. So we currently have 2,580.
Okay. So we've got about 600 more. Which is about a quarter as many more on the market right now. Now, are we seeing a slowdown in the market? I think we're seeing a leveling off in the market. I think that prices have run rampant, and I think that buyers are getting weary of sellers getting greedy. and there's more choices out there now than there were 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, we were at 1,900 listings. Now we've got 2,500, something like that. So now there's more to choose from. And supply and demand tells you that the trend is prices are not going to be going up as fast.
Yeah. In the last 7 days, there's been 573 homes added onto our multi-list.
And for the first 4 months of the year, we had about, per week, we had about maybe 200 a week go on the market. So now we have how many a week?
573.
There you go.
Was in this last week.
So, I mean, take that to heart.
Yeah. So we're seeing this, you know, kind of, and it really depends on the area, because it'll slow down in pockets, won't it?
Like, oh, of course.
Like the higher demand areas, there's areas that are always have been high demand for the past several years, like if the 73099 zip code. Has been.
Well, that's the fastest growing zip code in the Southwest, that's for sure. I can't believe they don't have as many. I can't believe they haven't divided that into two zip codes, frankly. I thought we might talk real briefly about the trends and who's doing what age-wise. And then Carol called in and has some questions. And we invite you to be a part of our audience.
You can give us a call at 840-1000. Join in the conversation. But Carol had some questions about it, but we want to talk first about the generation.
Let's talk about who's buying and who's selling. Okay? The silent generation, that's the generation above the... Well, it's below the greatest generation. Yeah. It's sandwiched in there. It's basically the...
Everybody was born during the Great Depression.
Yeah, there you go. Born during the Great Depression. Thank you, Mike. they're selling their homes faster than they're buying homes. So they're, you know, they make up about 8% of our selling market, but only about 6% of our buying market. And then baby boomers, we divide those into two groups. Baby boomers are selling a lot more than what they're buying. They are finding that they can go to the 55-plus rental areas and be able to not have the obligations of the lawn care, the house maintenance, and that kind of stuff. So 15% are buying, but 23% are selling. So make up 23%
so there's an 8% of the
gap of the total.
That, yeah.
Whereas the younger ones, it's a lot more level. And then Generation Xers, they're more buying than selling. And same things with the millennials. Millennials don't haven't owned anything historically, so they can't sell it. So they're definitely in the buying mode. The millennials, whether they be the older Gen Y or the younger Gen Y.
Millennials are easy to recognize because they fell right at the beginning of the decade. So there's the millennials of the 80s, millennials born in the 90s.
There you go. Okay. And they are definitely, they don't own, the ones born in the 90s evidently didn't don't own that much. So they can't sell. They make up only 3% of our sellers.
Yeah, there certainly is a trend within culture that there's a delay in a lot of the things that indicate adulthood, like not just a job but a career, finish with formal education, getting married, and long-time commitment. There's delay in that, and then delay in home ownership.
Right.
All of those are being delayed, where typically we would see it in their 20s or late 20s. We're not.
Okay. Our time is running short, so I'd like to invite Cindy, who called in, to... Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. I wanted to comment about getting the home inspection when you buy a new home. And on several occasions, I've done that with my son. I've told him I'll pay for...
Whoops.
...different states. And they've always found big stuff that's gotten fixed. But when you buy a home, they'll give sort of like a 12-month guarantee or something or other like that.
In
when
Oklahoma.
When it gets to be 11 months, I tell him, you got to get it inspected again, and I'll pay for it.
Well, and Cindy, that's very wise, and that's a good gift for your son. In Oklahoma, there's a mandatory home warranty on a new home for 1 year. Now, the home inspector that we use most is Call Us First Home Inspections, and they will go back on a new home. You hire them to do your new home inspection, and at the 11-month mark, they will go back for a very reduced price and inspect it again to be sure that you get all your claims in prior to the expiration of that. Very good point, Cindy. Let's go to Mark in Oklahoma City. Good morning, Mark.
Yes, good morning, Becky. How are you this morning?
Doing great.
Okay. I've been listening to your program, and I got a question for you, just kind of a general question. I got a bunch of rental houses, as you know, and I'm not sure if it's time to sell yet, but if when the time comes, would it be best to, like, bundle five in a package and sell them all as a package or just kind of individually sell them off? I'm just kind of curious of your take on that.
Well, this is a... You sell your homes one at a time want the most money for them.
Okay.
And, Mark, you need to know I'm selling my rental property.
Oh,
now,
really?
When would be the good time to sell rental property? When Becky decides to sell hers. I don't think they will ever be worth as much money as they are right now.
Well, I get a call about every 20 minutes, somebody wanting to buy one of my houses.
Mark, don't respond to those calls. Those are we call them iBuyers. And go retail on your properties and sell them one at a time. That's awesome.
Okay. Well, I'll probably call you, and we'll kick it around from there.
Okay, that's great. I would appreciate that. Well, we appreciate Cindy and Mark being part of our conversation.
Thanks for that. We'll be back with more after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. If you're hearing something that you have a friend or family member that you think needs to hear this, they can listen to it on a podcast through the iHeartRadio app or wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Just type in Becky Ivins or Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It'll pop up and hit subscribe, and you can listen to this in a recording or any of the past weeks within it. So it's been a kind of a fast-paced show today. I love it.
It has been.
Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh, hot Mexican food. It's our Smoking Hot Deal.
Or a chili cold margarita, too.
goes right with it. Becky, what's our Smoking Hot Deal today?
Well, we've
or
got
deals.
Deals. We've got two. Okay, one of them just hit the market, and that is in Windsor Hills. So, Mark, why don't you tell us about the house in Windsor Hills?
So, this is a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath. It is 2,284 square feet in just beautiful Windsor Hills. Has a large oak tree in the front yard, just picturesque. It used to be a four bedroom.
Is it the master they opened up?
It opened up the room that was next to the master, which makes it like a large study connected to the master.
Or you could go back to four bedroom if you wanted to.
Right. If you need it to be a fourth bedroom, very easy to convert it back. But I think somebody's probably going to like the extra room that it gives in a master, because it basically gives you a little second living area right there, or a big study area. So wonderful backyard, lots of privacy within that backyard. And so you can go see that at BeckyIvins.com. Click on search listings.
It's on Windsor Terrace, by the way. It's at 3408 Windsor Terrace. It's about 2,300 square feet. The bedrooms are all upstairs, and then it's got 2.5 bathrooms. So the master and the hall bath upstairs, and then it's got a guest powder bath downstairs. A nice, deep two-car garage. And what's the price?
$205,000.
Wonder what else you can buy for $205,000. Something that I love it when I get to tell you guys about houses that are about to hit the market. This one, we signed our listing agreement yesterday on this. It will hit the market on Monday. And it also is $205,000. Now, this is about a 1,700 square foot. It's kind of interesting. This is in Vintage Gardens. If you don't know Vintage Gardens, you probably aren't even going to get excited. If you know what Vintage Gardens is, you're going to be excited about this listing, because it's a sought-after area. It's one of the, I think there's only two, freestanding. Most of them are duplexes, and you buy a half a duplex. This is a freestanding, straight pull-in driveway house. In Vintage Gardens, about 1,700 square feet. It's got two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and a study. So, and it's $205,000. And Vintage Gardens, by the way, is a little gated area. There's actually two of them, 159th and Penn. And you go east, and there's a gated area on the south, and there's a gated area on the north. This is in the north area on Silverado. It'll be on the market on Monday for $205,000. It's a rare find.
That's a beautiful area.
It is.
Yeah, very, very nice. You can see these. Go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings. And if you want to take it, there's a place right there. You can schedule a showing straight from the website.
Yes, there is. And this neighborhood, of course, has the neighborhood pool and stuff.
Those are our smoking hot deals, brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill.
Mike Gannon, do you have Carol's questions? Yeah. Let's see if we can answer them.
All right, let's do this. So Carol was wanting to know about what improvements she can make to a house that would add value, that would be worth it, the money, the expense to do it versus the additional value she would get if she was to sell her home.
Well, this is right up my alley. Yes. I do this all day, every day. I help people decide, do you do something? Do you not do something? So what's her ideas? Okay. There's not a whole lot she can do that's going to bring value to her home right now.
One, her popcorn ceiling. Get rid of it.
I will tell you that everyone wants the popcorn ceiling gone, but they're not going to pay a whole lot more for it.
Okay, that's one. Two, installing a sprinkler system.
Everybody wants a sprinkler system. And they will pay about half price for it more.
All right. So you get about 50. Okay. And then three, outdoor lighting. Upgrade all your outdoor lighting.
Yes. Outdoor lighting will pay for itself.
All right. And doing a kitchen remodel now before you put it on the market.
Well, there's no such thing as a quick kitchen remodel to start with.
That's true.
Sorry, Carol. and it kind of depends on the age of the home. Did she happen to tell you the age of her home?
No, she did not.
Okay. If it's got popcorn ceilings, it's going to probably be a 60s or 70s house.
Correct.
And it's going to, typically, you can get about half to three quarters of your money back on doing a remodel of your kitchen. But unless you're, if you're fixing it to sell, and you're going to spend $20,000 and you're only going to get between 10 and 15 back, why would you do that? So there's very little you can do that is going to bring all your money back to you on remodeling a home in this kind of a market. Yeah. This kind of a market, people are paying unreasonably high prices for homes that don't that need everything. Yeah. They need all the updates. I'll tell you where you need to spend your money when you are about to put your house on the market to fix a problem. If there is something broken, fix it. If you need foundational piers, put them in. A buyer is not going to buy a problem, but they will buy a project. So if there's something broken, fix it.
Yeah.
If your oven doesn't work, get a new oven, you know, or get that one fixed.
Yeah. And on her list, basically the outdoor lighting would be the one, the best value.
It's kind of depending on what the outdoor lighting is like. Outdoor lighting is extremely cheap. I would do a plug-in outdoor landscape lighting that is just something that stakes that you put in the ground and you plug it in. Don't spend the money on an electrician to put in a bunch of down lights from your eaves or up lights on your house. That's not going to be money well spent. But can you go buy $100 or $200 worth of plug-in landscape lighting and it be worth the money? Absolutely. So,
if you have someone or you are thinking about possibly selling your house, start with a conversation with a great realtor. Start with that so that, you know, because nearly everything that people say, I want to do this to increase the value of my home and or sellability.
Now, I'll tell you what I've done over the years is you spend your money about 2 years before you move, to where you get to enjoy it and it's still not out of style when you sell.
Yeah.
And that way, I mean, I did that and made some definite decisions based on things I had done to update a home. So, and I thought, I don't like that. So I didn't do it in my new home. So that's the one thing that will pay more than it cost by far is decluttering. And we have Clutter Free is the name of the company that's going to help you do that.
And maybe do that before you ever think about moving to. It'll just make your life more enjoyable.
And I'm happy to come out and visit with you and help you decide what is what you're going to do and what are you not going to do.
Thanks for being with us this week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Can't wait to see you again next week.